אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם בעמוד 392, מאמר הערבות.
קבלה for the student, page 251, the ערבות, essay. You can ask questions at kab.tv and selected questions will be asked during the lesson. We are beginning with, for this reason. For this reason, they were not ready to receive the Torah at the time of Abraham.
What reason? We need to know. Where are we reading?
Beginning of the first column, for this reason.
Well, no, let's start from with this collective responsibility.
With this, page 251. With this collective responsibility, each member of the nation was liberated from worrying about the needs of his own body and could keep the mitzvah, love thy friend as thyself, in the fullest measure and give all that he had to any needy person.
Why? Because we get such a big fulfillment in our feeling that we don't need more than only existence in corporeality. It's like an animal. If you give it what it needs, you're not going to give cookies to a cow, right? You'll give it what it needs. And in that way, it doesn't need anything more. This is what nature forces it to need. So, if we behave in a way that all our desires that are unrelated to our animalistic degree will be on the human level, if we don't mix them up, then we simply get rid of all that extra that we're creating, polluting the planet, and instead all our desires besides the necessary ones, the necessities, the basic needs, all the other desires will rise to the human level. And on the corporeal level, we'll keep what we need for food, sex, family, and decent corporeal life. So man's entire passion will be in connecting to others, thus coming to a fulfillment on the human level, Adam, from the word similar to the Creator. And certainly then, one does not think more about self-fulfillment than what he needs to survive, to live. And all the extra, all the surplus, which is connecting with others and discovering the Creator, so he'll put all his efforts for the collective, because that's where he discovers what's called, within my people do I dwell.
Since he no longer cared for the existence of his own body, as he knew for certain that he was surrounded by 600,000 loyal lovers who were standing ready to provide for him.
Meaning, on what condition can one make it so that he'll care for everyone if he has such an environment that keeps him that way, giving him the greatness of connection and the sense of confidence, security, that he will not lack anything to his existence. But later, even that is unnecessary. He absorbs eventually everything from becoming one with society. You don't need to see all their storage for, you know, supplies for your necessities. But the love you have towards others fulfills all your vessels.
Regarding the security, today the most common thing that anybody feels these days is a lack of certainty, lack of security, distrust in others. So the question is, from this situation with the age zero, the environment educates not to trust anyone, not to open the door. We reach a state with 600,000 lovers standing ready to provide for him.
Well, we're talking about a whole new society. When I worked in the army, when I was there, in the radio, they used to say, take a soldier as a hitchhiker, you know. Today they say soldiers are forbidden to take a ride. And look how things change. And not because of terrorism or terrorists, but simply because you can't trust anyone. So,
yesterday, I also saw the advertisement. It's not just soldiers don't, you know, don't take rides. They even showed you why. They showed a very famous picture, a very, you know, tough picture. Don't take rides. Meaning, don't trust anyone.
Yes.
Good. So,
how do we now come from that to love? It's very close. Because you already have greater recognition of evil. You realize where you are much better than before. You have to come to a point where you don't begin to do all kinds of wild things now uncontrollably to discover the evil. No, recognition of evil can come from a very little action even that is broken. So we need to increase the light that shines on that little small broken action in order to magnify it. It's like when you're looking at a result of, you know, a diagnosis after you had a blood test, let's say, and the doctor tells you, oh, this can develop into something big in 30 years. Some people will say, oh, 30 years, who cares? Other will say, no, wait a minute, I have to study this, I have to see what it is, and then they're really, you know, you have to be in fear. Otherwise, you won't be able to correct. So it's very good that they advertise these things. The question is only whether it also contains the correct approach, the correct direction to then bring us to correction, or it only puts people in despair, fear, anxiety, tension without any use, without any benefit. The benefit comes from knowing the reason and purpose for what is happening. There's none as wise as the experienced one. Therefore, all the actions they do will not induce correction. Only in a very, very indirect way. Because they cannot aim these phenomena towards the goal, the purpose.
I have another example, let's say, of this kind of distrust. Not too long ago, I talked to my brother. He said, I heard you're looking for a new home. I saw on TV, Rav Lightman, you mentioned that you're now trying to get some money to have a new building. And he says, how can it be? How can there be a spiritual institution that is enlisting money?
Sure, we're supposed to pray, right? And then from above, like a spaceship, very slowly, you know, like from Mars, and that's it. And then we will go into it with a song, all of us together, into the new building. Yeah, that's what he's expecting. If that's spirituality, right? So
that's exactly this point of distrust that, you know.
What distrust? No, if I really trust, will believe or something, then I close my eyes strongly and it's all there. Yeah? What? I'm asking you.
No, obviously not, but
I see you didn't really read all kinds of tales and legends when you were a child.
But nonetheless, how do we develop this kind of trust? And we do see the justification and the necessity in all of those things. How do we overcome this gap?
I don't understand. At this point, we truly need a new building. That's a different story.
Yes.
We need a new building because we have to leave this place. We must. We're forced. This is just the orders of the authorities. And we also have to find a new place. We have to make a lot of adjustments there, which will cost a lot of money. All of that together costs a lot. And we want to do this without renting because it's not beneficial. And we want to have a place where we can bring all our friends and they can also spend nights there for a while when they come to train themselves. And we need basically the minimum requirements for the logistical center for the correction of the world. So certainly we have to do this as soon as possible. And I'm actually using this opportunity to address everyone again and ask to make an effort to make this happen. Because there are several places now that we can really think of buying. And if we at least get the same amount that we collected so far, we need close to $1 million. To an extra $1 million in order to think of buying it with a loan from the bank. If we go with what we have right now, the amount we have now is not even enough to get a loan from the bank because it's just too small compared to the total worth of the building. So we're kind of stuck now. We can't yet do it. We need today we need about $1 million more. But it's not going to land on you from above, because this has to do with each and everyone's effort.
So regarding this gap, meaning put-off that I feel now, if I try to make a move towards this move, and I feel doubts and concerns, is that my exertion? I mean, why is that coming? Is that from distrust? Is that a place for exertion?
It's a place for effort, yeah. Place for effort. It's called, if I'm not for myself, then who? It's a place for effort. Faith only comes after you make the effort, then you get the response, the reward from above. That's where is what we call faith. Faith doesn't cancel your effort.
A student from Israel asks, I don't feel that the new building will be my home. I have my own Arvut Center, that's where I bestow. So how do you connect these things?
Where do you get everything from? That is, the media, the content, the books, the internet, broadcasts, lessons, TV channel. Where is everything being planned, organized for the book week, for conventions, for lectures? Where does it all come from? Let's say if we detach you and your group, if you all think that way, and disconnect them from us, what will then become of them? What, you think all of this just happens all of a sudden? Magically, you just go online and all the abundance of materials is already there, just magically? Well, what? Everything is pre-planned and prepared. You don't even know what you're talking about. It's such a vast, huge system that is constantly working on this in so many directions, in so many languages, preparing things. Even to do just one thing requires such a great preparation, say to publish a book, or to produce a video clip, or to anything. So a simple person doesn't understand this. He just gets everything he needs, and he thinks that his bottle of milk grows on the tree along with the milk. Many people are working together with us. Here, Mushi, how many people are working here today? In general, meaning on a payroll? 120. 120 people approximately are working on salary. That's part of the people here, part of them are around the world. And without them, we wouldn't be able to operate thousands more everywhere. You don't feel connected to us, only to your local group. Fine. Okay, so try to disconnect yourself and your group from us and see. It's just the infancy of your understanding. What are you doing right now? Aren't you sitting behind watching the screen? Where does all the information come from? Who keeps this place together? Maintenance, people organizing it, people right now sitting in technical rooms making sure a broadcast happens, and then storage and archive. And I don't understand what he's talking about. It's our friends are so little. Well, we'll forgive him. You know, he doesn't need to take part. We don't need him.
Yesterday I received a letter from the Moscow group. And there's a great guy there, Sasha Levinsky, if we can show you the Moscow group here on the screen. He wrote that they are now taking responsibility for collecting aid from all the Russian-speaking people. They're really sending a newsletter for all the groups. And in Moscow, they're also going to collect money in all the different forms. They really demanded an answer within half a day to check those things. They firmly said...
Check what?
Oh, the text that I want to send everybody. They have this desire. I was ashamed that we don't have this type of fear as they felt from them.
Well, again, look, it's a place that is general for everyone. It's not like that quote-unquote friend from Israel just asked. People understand that if we don't have that place. Look, we're in a situation now where it's not like a Kabbalist writes a book, gives it to the world, and he can pass away and die. We're at such a point in our evolution where along with humanity, we're constantly developing and working together with these changes happening. And it can't be if not being at the same pace with the world day to day. You change, the world changes. And then we can express more and explain more and give more. And people are feeling this more and more. How everything happening in the world and what we're studying is all connected. That it's really the teaching of life. And therefore, we have to be closely working and consistently more and more from day to day. You can't do it like before. There was a different pace in the past. If not today, then publish the book in half a year from now. If you don't publish it today, you won't need it tomorrow because changes will occur, new conditions will emerge, people will change, and they'll need new material. If in the past you were able to publish a book and then it would live for, say, 10 years, 15 years. In the past, books had a life of hundreds of years. Today, you're giving it out like news. You do something, in half a year, you have to do something new. Everything changes. Everything, the absorption, the perception, receptiveness of people, the style of how they absorb the material, it all changes. Therefore, this logistical center we're talking about will become more and more important, especially now when we're going out all over the world into all kinds of new channels of communication. We're preparing lecturers and training activists of our people and educators in many languages in all our groups over the world. And right now we're working on opening these courses, meaning first we have to train and grow our people. And they have to start their own trainings and courses there themselves. And they'll grow, you know, it's kind of a tree that branches out. And so definitely here we have to stay on the pulse and be... and keep our pacing very, very well, better and better, and generate new material in many different ways. Therefore, the work here will take on each time a greater and greater importance, significance. Everyone else will feel that this focal point will become clearer and clearer as the central point for the method of correction for the world. And the more you expand, the more you spread out, the more you organize more and more circles around you and activities, it will give them a feeling that something is happening from here. And there's nothing to be ashamed of. The connection between the upper force and the world happens here at the center of the group. And it doesn't happen in any other group. With all the respect to them, they have to be more connected to us. And then they'll be more in the center of all the circles. Unlike that smart friend who doesn't feel any connection. If he doesn't feel any connection, then he's really miserable, because it disconnects him from the upper abundance. He has nothing left than just this page that he thinks he understands. If he relates to our center in that way, it's just lack of understanding of what we're talking about. Just lack of understanding. It's possible that we should talk about this more, but we don't really like praising ourselves. You know, we simply prefer thinking that those who understand, understand, those who appreciate, appreciate, but the truth is that the little person can't really imagine what we're talking about. He doesn't feel that his entire lifeline, livelihood is coming from us, is connected to us. So I offer to these people, try to disconnect. Just leave. It will at least give you a certain new analysis that either you really jump in and connect, or just go and succeed, have success in your life. Because otherwise you can just stay in between your entire life. Just think that you're smart somewhere, you're happy with your own local group, maybe you come once a week to philosophize about something, drink a cup of coffee and go home. That's no good. And we too, in the various lectures and lessons that we give, especially to the groups all around, as we do these days, we have to tell them about that. We have to explain the significance of this new logistical center, that specifically now, as the world is advancing, the significance of this is growing and growing. Yes, Uli.
Continuing, friends, I just want to mention, in the past half a year, we did something like, well, we printed 15 new books, which I think is unbelievable. We invest a lot of effort in this. Now, you talked about the book fair. I wanted to ask you, the book fair starts next week. Yesterday you mentioned, and also I read in the blog, that you treat it as a holiday, as a festival. Well, holiday. How is that a holiday?
Well, holiday. First of all, they do call it the book holiday or something of that sort. I once heard that expression.
The holiday of the Israeli or the Hebrew book.
Yeah, that. So, in any country, actually, in all countries, there's like a book expo once in a while or some sort of a book fair. Because the truth is that the book is the source of expression of man's meaning, man's essence. This is the difference between man and animal. What was the difference? That man started writing, even if it was using a hammer and a chisel and a rock, or writing on a scroll. But this is related to the human. The animal, what? It does moo, you know. I'm not disregarding that. They share a lot of information between them, but they don't have what we call writings for generations to come, for the future to come. This is a characteristic of the human who leaves time and space by writing. It's not that simple. This is how I essentially rise above the axis of time. Those three axes of time, space, and motion, actually. I rise above the control of nature above on my body. I leave my body by knowing how to write. If I wrote something, I can die. Meaning, if I write something, I can send it to someone I can't reach. This is something that has to do with man's essence. Therefore, a book is something that it's a creation that can only come from a human. Therefore, look what the Zohar says about the 22 letters and all this depiction and so on. This is very profound. Therefore, the form and shape of the book, even the modern book, you know, which is not like a scroll that you use to kind of unfold, you know. But it doesn't matter. Even the shape of the modern book is still different from a digital format. And although an e-book could be much more convenient and we're already used to it, I still don't think that it's going to vanish so quickly. So, in any case, we definitely should invest in books. It doesn't matter in what way, electronically or on a paper or something else, but the writing is, put it this way, a feeling comes from seeing the shapes. When you watch video clips, you can get excited by seeing images. When you read, that shares wisdom. Wisdom comes through the letters. Emotion comes through visual images. Therefore, we should definitely continue and keep thinking about new books. Usually, we do it from taking our talks about education for adults and education for children, and including all the roundtables and all that we do, and from our lessons here, taking the best material and using it to produce and publish books. We can't avoid it. Or present them virtually as well. But this year we have a lot of groups taking part with us, and I'm also addressing the group now. I want to get information from them on how to participate. And it turns out that many groups are still in the beginning of the way, and
doesn't matter if they're the beginning of the way or the end of the way. They simply have to come out to the same places where it's possible for us to be there and to offer for people to buy books cheaply and with a great selection. That can be done by anyone, truly anyone. And if the groups don't realize that for them this is an opportunity to participate in the correction of the world, and by that each one can gain spirituality through a corporeal action, then I don't know what else we can explain. Our world, again, that final degree of all the letter of the degrees is very unique. Here we can invest in physical actions corporeally. Earlier I spoke to Mutlu that I embrace him even though I hate him, but by that nonetheless I invite the light that reforms. This is called from Lolishma to Lishma, from the evil inclination to the good inclination. The light comes over my physical action with my desire. The light comes and changes my desire. This is, there is no such thing in all the other worlds. You need to just know how to use it. Same here. I go and I bestow how. Take a book. Here, you take another book. Buy a book. Take this as a gift. See this game that I want to give you. By these actions, I actually bestow. I don't know how, but with the inclination that I have, I activate and open the path for the light that will later reach them. It would reach them through me. So by that, I merit being like a pipe for the light. So what could be more? I mean, what do we need more? besides, as much as we study and we need to study this here in the Aravut essay, that this is our destiny, to be the conduit, those who pass the light from the teacher to the world.
Creator.
From the creator to the world. The action is really... So coming out to all of these actions is truly... It's so good for a person. There's nothing more beneficial. It's really a direct action.
Actually, I want to linger on what you said about our sort of public relations. I am actually claiming for a long time that we're kind of naive in terms of public relations. Because how could it be that for so many years, this organization gives so many things out to the world, and when we ask for something, it's like people think there's a catch. What? It can't be like that, you know?
Yes, I enjoy that. Some people enjoy stealing, and some people enjoy giving. It's not crazy. This person is working for a different type of pleasure. Yes, there are many people who work hard. My wife, I remember, she used to go to the hospital, I think Tel HaShomer, for many years in Bnei Brak, and the women would get organized and go there and help the children's department. She would stay there for days and nights. I would drive her there. What do you get out of that? Well, I do. I feel that by that, I contribute, and the society becomes better. It gives me greater confidence, sense of security for my own children. It's human. It's human. Yes.
You said that this group gives to everyone, and there is something not less great than this group, which is the World Kli and all the work they do, translations and so on.
Yes, true.
And of course, without the World Kli, there's not going to be a world correction.
So?
But there is no public relations. No one is like talking about what we're doing. Even when I remember there was this Channel 2 program about us, you know, they didn't even talk about what all that we're doing. So we have this kind of naiveness of like just like giving without, you know, sending the truth out. And there's a lot of it. Things that are even practically imaginary that are hard to believe.
Oh, maybe we lack a PR department. That's what you're saying?
I think something even from outside, not even ours.
Well, we'll work on that. I don't know who's going to work on that. Mushi, I guess.
I want to ask about the article of the Aravut here. In the article, it says that I have to be a guarantor for my friends, that they'll have high spirits, the importance of bestowal.
Yes.
How do we go from that to our world to say whether there's truly mutual guarantee in taking part in helping build, buy the building and maser? And
those are the means with which we connect. And by those, we perform a spiritual action.
But most importantly is first to care for the spirit of the friends, the importance he has. That's the true mutual guarantee.
Well, the spirit is in the spirit, but by us accumulating our exertion, our efforts, by that we perform an action. The spirit is with respect to the group, but with respect to the world, we're saying that what we create is only for the world. You remember, once we used to sit in a small house, a deserted house, in a yard with trees, eucalyptus trees, or now we had a palm tree, a nice palm tree in the yard, and everything was just fine. How many were we? 15, 20, later we had 30 people. We barely fit in there. In this house, but it was nice. It was truly, everything was good. Did we lack anything? No, we didn't lack anything. Until, unfortunately, a reserve came and started, you know, saying that we need to start a whole mess, that we need to open up centers all over the world. You know, simply the time has come. that we had to start widespread dissemination. But without the dissemination, we had a very nice time, if you ask me. If it weren't for dissemination, I would take, I don't know how many people, and simply move away and detach, you know, go into some place in the desert. You know, what do we need? And we would just live that way. But all of our work, other than the small group in a small room, the fact that we created this big factory and have all the groups all over the world and published books and all of that. I mean, did we publish any books back then? No, once every few years maybe I would print a book. Shamati was the only book that was printed. I didn't write anything by myself. And I think I started working on the Zohar first part. I wanted to publish a few books that I received from Rabash, so write an explanation about them. No more than that. All the rest, what a small group in a small place without an internet, you know, what do we need all of these things for? We come, we study from the book, and that's it. There's no reason to do more. So all the rest is all in all, in order to provide this knowledge for all the people in the world. Those who have gone through those years and would recall them, there are so many things, there's so many good emotions, feelings that we had about that, being completely detached from everyone. Time passes in a completely different manner. Your sensations are completely different. You don't owe anyone anything. You don't have to chase your own obligations. You don't have to constantly check yourselves according to the screens and how are you dressed right now, how do you look. You're simply continued in a different level, different style of life nowadays, from the morning to the night. Look at the schedule, look at what my diary says for today, what meetings, what shoots I have to go through, and in addition to the blog and all kinds of yes, and what, why, what for? If it weren't for the widespread dissemination to the whole world. So people have to realize all over the world, at least in our groups, that we're truly working all of these hours, and including the study itself is not really adjusted for us. We're making the calculation, taking into account the whole world. If it were just us, maybe we would have studied different things. As much as it may seem to them that maybe we're here and detached of them, and they're just watching us through some small opening. It's actually the opposite. Whatever we do here is for that all these materials would reach them and fill them up.
I'm trying to understand how important it is to also be in mutual guarantee here. The fact that we have to disseminate, sure, but is in this action, am I supposed to be in mutual guarantee? Because usually between friends, it's not a customary for us to help each other in that way. We have to change our attitude to each other, raise the importance of spirituality. But if it goes down to corporeality, for years we didn't really go into this level.
We don't take care of corporeality because we are under the assumption that our friends usually have very limited demands regarding corporeality. And they have that. Certainly, if a person is under such difficulties and conditions that he can't even provide that for his family, then they need to turn to us. And then we will see what we can do. But normally, that's what we think, that somebody who's working somehow is able to. Well, the problem is, you know, you need a certain, it's a certain art to be able to balance yourself every month, but it's possible.
So Arvud can't be only in thought and correcting your relation, but if I live in this world, it has to also be on the level of meaning. If it's maser, then it's also my participation with everyone. If it's helping with the building or anything else,
that's spiritual participation. You're not talking about corporeality here. That's something completely different. Why do you confuse one with the other? Maaser is a spiritual action because it goes to dissemination. It goes to the correction of the world. It goes to preparing the kli in which the Creator would be revealed. So I don't understand. What's the... you could say that if I'm concerned for a friend, for his livelihood, then that too. But here, it's money that immediately goes to that kind of usage.
But because I can do these things even without my desire. There are things like caring for the friend with my desire, I can't. But these things, sure.
It's enough for us to be interconnected, not personal into one another. We already saw many mishaps that come from that, but rather in a way that, in such a way we operate towards dissemination. And that's enough. Now before us, in terms of dissemination again, if we would feel that we are unable to go for the new building, then we will have to take some old place, old building, and maybe reduce the level of our activity, of our external activity. And mainly we will do whatever we need for ourselves in order to keep going, and that's it. We won't have a choice. It would end up going in that direction. Yes, Gilly.
Just to continue Mushi's question, because it's kind of a gray area, just to clarify this with people, friends in around the world. Because of the financial situation, many friends are approaching the group saying, give me financial aid. So if you can give a very clear explanation of how to relate to that, because it does create problematic situations, and it's hard for friends to judge when it's correct to help, when it's incorrect. Sometimes people come with quotes from Rabash, you have to help me. And can you give a simple definition?
As principle, you don't come to the group asking for aid. In principle, you don't do that. Unless the situation is, God forbid, such that it's clear to everyone that there's no choice, we have to help. But again, we have to only because really it's a life threatening situation.
Is it okay to turn from one friend to another friend, or only through
no,
the group?
No, only you can only turn to the group, never to another friend. The relationship between the friends must be only spiritual. Let Chaim.
Rav, I wanted to continue on a few points that we were talking about in the last hour. First of all, the meaning of what's coming out of the center from here. We know that, for instance, right after the lesson in New York, they're sitting on a work meeting with our representatives here for setting up the roundtable events in North America. Our friends just came out to Europe today to deliver the integral education method. All these things are the collective effort of many friends who are working for years in order for these things to influence the world. So anyone who has some understanding knows that these things cost a lot of time and effort and means. So if we do want to bestow and include the whole world into us, then certainly everyone should do whatever they can, regardless of whether you're in Chile, Argentina, or any other place, and look at this as really your home, because this is where all the wisdom is delivered from.
Certainly, if they would know all the actions that we're doing here and how much each action in our world demands preparations and other actions before their... I don't think that we would hear such things. But...
Following what you said about coming closer to the people, and it's the call of the time, and we must do it. When we used to engage only in Kabbalah and less in Arvut, we said that in workplaces we don't engage in Kabbalah, and because Kabbalah is only with the group, and that's it.
Yes.
And The question is whether today the workplace can also become a place for dissemination. Not dissemination of Kabbalah, but arvut, mutual guarantee. Meaning I'm thinking, for instance, in my workplace about how to, I told my manager, I want to do a talk with the team on how to work together and so on. She said, okay, here, take the time.
Yes, but only after we take the courses, we study very well what is the practical way to do it, get some experience in such places where we can learn how to do that. And after that, and again, also after we decide that in those places we do want to do it, in other places we don't want to do it, then certainly it's worthwhile doing it. That is possible everywhere. This type of approach must enter every place where there's more than a single person. If there's two people there, we can go ahead.
And if today, as representatives of the Arvut movement in our workplace, do we need to at least set an example for mutual guarantee, for mutual care? If in the past we didn't do so, today we do need to be responsible for that, to set an example for the others?
Yes, but again, this is something we have to learn. Again, I'm saying that only after the courses. In the meanwhile, don't open your mouth. Don't start giving examples that might be the opposite of what we should use. First, we must study. Therefore, again, I'm talking about opening those courses. We need to make sure that everybody would know about them, everybody would take them, and would truly receive everything that we have regarding education and knowledge and everything. Everything related to the integral education.
There's a certain clarification, if you can expand on it. The point that first we need to attain connection, then begin solving problems.
Yes, I saw it yesterday when we were sitting and talking in another meeting, that I was surprised that people don't realize. Also in the TV programs, the round tables, and all kinds of different places, in the games that we produce, our approach is different from all the other approaches. You have thousands of organizations that say, let's have a connection, it will be better off. We're saying the following. We need to reach the connection in order to find in the connection a shared force. And with that shared force, then we'll go and try to solve all the different problems. Meaning, from the beginning, we say we have to rise towards the connection. We create it, stabilize it, we detect it. From there, from that sensation that we are together, we can then approach the solution of each and every problem. This is actually our approach. There's nothing complicated here. But the beginning is that we have the problems and we don't know how to manage with them. We rise above the problems to the connection in a place where we can be connected, and we reach that one. And from that one, again, we observe, we look at all the problems that pushed us towards this action to start with, and we solve them. And if we don't, we can't solve them. And again, we feel this confusion, all of that. Again, we have to rise. So what is it that we actually do? Just realize. Today, this is connected a little bit to the task. We rise to Bina, to the connection. And then we start pulling Malchut towards that Bina. This is what we're doing. These are really such actions. I mean, we don't have more than that, even in our world. The connection is Bina. We are stuck in our problems in Malchut. If we raise our problems to Bina, we're going to start solving them. That's all.
Why in the first place do we rise to that connection?
Again?
Why do we rise to that connection if not to solve our problems?
In order to solve the problems.
So we're uniting in order to solve our problems.
Yes.
So we're not uniting to unite and then solve our problems.
No. Oh, it's just the same?
No. Either we connect for connecting.
What is the reason? The reason is that I feel bad. How will I make it so that I'll feel better? How will I solve the problems so that I'll feel better? So they say, well, there is a means, as a device. You need to connect. Through the connection, you'll solve the problems. And with that, we conclude.
An announcement. Next Tuesday, June 5, Rav Lightman's weekly lesson, this time in Modi'in. We'll have questions and answers and a talk about the influence of media over our lives in our time, and how can we change the media into a positive influence. You can send questions on kab.tv, kab.co.il. Good day, great night.
Many, many years ago, we were one big soul. Started breaking into pieces and spread around the world. Started feeling lonely with a hole inside our heart. Today you see that we can't stay apart. One by one we will join together. One by one let's connect forever. And we will be a global family. One by one, we will join together. One by one, let's connect forever. We will be a global family. We finally started asking, what's the meaning of this all? Now the time has come for us to answer nature's call. Time to end the separation. It's up to us to start.